Hey there, welcome back, No Problem Parents. Today is part two of my conversation with Jesse LeBeau, one of the most highly sought after youth motivational speakers and teen coaches. Today, Jesse covers the five key shifts every parent can make to strengthen their relationship with their teenagers, and you're going to learn about his impactful school programs and speaking engagements. Go back and listen to episode 264 for part one of my conversation with Jesse, which includes his story of resilience. Parents and educators can create an empowering environment, cultivate resilience, embrace growth and learning, and empower teens through Jesse's school programs and speaking engagements. He discusses the impact that these programs have made on over 1 million students nationwide. To learn more about how to get Jesse to speak at your school, you can check out his link at theattitudeadvantage.com or email me personally, Jackie, J-A-C-I, at noproblemparents.com, and I will make a personal introduction with you and Jesse. All right, before we get into today's episode, we've been talking a lot about sleep and the importance of sleep, and I want to introduce you to the app called NewCalm. If you and your kiddos are struggling to get a good night's sleep, NewCalm is your key to tranquil nights and energized mornings. Utilizing advanced neuroacoustic software, NewCalm guides your brain waves to deeper levels of rest, ensuring a rejuvenating sleep experience for both you and your children. With just a click, NewCalm delivers effortless relaxation, setting the stage for a peaceful night's rest for your whole family. Unlock better sleep for you and your kids with NewCalm Deep Sleep. Use coupon code NOPROBLEM for 15% off and achieve restorative sleep like never before. Links are in the show notes. Get started with NewCalm today. All right. Hey there, Jesse. I am excited to continue our conversation. There's just so much to cover and we're going to get through it all. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
We were both talkers for the first episode. So I said, hey, we're going to run out of time. We just need to make this a two-part twofer. You have five shifts and we covered the first one last week. And so today I thought we'd do shift two through five, just kind of a summary of those. And then I really want to share your school program and get you here in Minnesota throughout the country.
So I'll rewind it back and do the first one and then refresh on the second one. So this will be, a little bit, back and forth for us today. So you got to stay on your toes if you're listening.
Yeah, sounds good. Go for it.
I love it. So the first and most important thing is it takes me back to when I was a freshman in high school. I left Alaska and I was in San Diego and I was at this school and it was a Christian school. And on the wall, there was a poster and it said, evangelize the gospel everywhere you go. And when necessary, use words. And I never forgot that. Mrs. Bones' class. And what I realized was it's your actions that matter. It's what you do. It's you walking the walk. And today, everyone's got an opinion. Everyone could say the right things. You need a cold plunge and whatever the new fad is, which I like to do that sometimes. I don't know if it helps me or not, but it's a challenging. So it's kind of fun. And I do it with my family. But it comes down to a lot of parents will say, do as I say, not as I do. And unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. If you're saying, hey, you can't be on your phone at the dinner table and you're at your phone doing emails or whatever it is that you're doing, they're seeing that. And so it's, well, why is it okay to not do these things, but it's okay for you to do them? Like this is a double standard. And so kids are going to watch what you're going to do. And you know that, and they're going to pick up on it. And the thing is, they see everything. Even when you don't think they're watching, they are. So the biggest thing that you can do as a parent is start with yourself. Work on your own things. Be a better example for them because they are going to mirror and they're going to pattern those different things. So second one is leveraging failure strategically. And that really just as a quick refresher is, hey, things happen. And it's a part of life that you're going to fail. You're not going to feel up to it. Maybe you need to take a quick 20-minute nap before you do something. It is just in life, things aren't always going to work out. And I'd argue the people that are the most successful are the people who fail the most, but they just keep going. And your kid needs to learn that, hey, I can handle failure. I can handle some embarrassment. I can handle these different things. And it's not the end of the world. The world doesn't stop. It keeps going. Most people don't care. They're going to forget about it 5 minutes later. And they need that grit and that resilience. So when they get out into the real world, that they can handle some adversity and they can handle some obstacles And like we said before, it's that preparing them for the road ahead and not just being like, we're going to bubble wrap everything and make everything easy, because that's not life. That's not realistic. We wish it was, maybe some of us do, but I would argue the tough things and the hard things are the best things, because they show you what you're made of. And a lot of times those things that are so difficult, if you choose to let them, they can make you so strong that not only does it make you better, but it makes the people around you better, because you can be an inspiration and relate to whatever they're going through and be like, hey, I've been there. I've been in that toxic relationship. Hey, I've been there. I've lost a loved one. Hey, I've been there. I've been heartbroken. And all these different things that we go through, we got to be in it together. So those are the first two.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I also, the thing I love about that too, Jesse, is that I think our anxiety numbers and depression numbers are through the roof because we are trying to protect our kids too much from going through hard things. And then we're not helping, we're not empowering them and giving them the skills and just even the belief in them, sending that message to them that, hey, this sucks. This was really hard. And I know you'll get through it. Like, instead, we're stepping in and kind of trying to solve it and fix it and take care of it for them, which I think gives that unimplied message to them that you're not capable.
It really is doing them a disservice. And I would argue that life is hard, right? So life is hard, but you get to choose your hard. So it's hard to get in there and say, hey, because I love you, I am going to let you go through a little bit of tough times. I'm going to let you struggle a little bit when these things happen. I'm going to be strict when it comes to your phone and what you're allowed to do and what I'm allowing your eyes to see. And that is going to cause you to butt heads. And guess what? They're going to go, but every other kid has Snapchat. Every other kid's doing this. And so many parents fold. And it's not because they don't love their kids. They have the best of intentions. These things that you're saying, it's parents having the best of intentions. They want the absolute best, but the practice that they're doing is hurting them more than it's helping them. And so you can do those things that are hard, that will cause some conflict, that will have some uncomfortable conversations. Your kids will be mad at you. But the alternative is to let them be like all the other kids, right, who are doing those things, which is so funny, because it was all the other kids are joining gangs or robbing banks or injecting heroin into their veins. You would go, yeah, but you're a fill in your last name. You're in my case, you're a LeBeau, and we have family values. We have values that we stand on, and this is how we operate. And so it's so funny that in this instance, it's like, well, everyone else has a phone. It's yeah, but every other kid is depressed, self-harming, stressed, anxious, and having a really hard time, So do you, that is, I would argue, way harder than bumping heads with them and doing the thing that you know is tough, but you do it because you love them, right? These things that you do, it's like, I want you to wear a seatbelt because I don't want you to get thrown out of the car if there's an accident. So you're putting these things into place. So you get to choose your hard, and I sure hope that parents will choose the hard that puts their kid on the path to at least have a shot to be happy, healthy, confident, and fulfilled in their lives.
Absolutely. And now you're reminding me of I have a download, a PDF that I give away free to parents called The 60 Ways to Respond to Your Kids Without Losing Your Cool, but it could also be Without Rescuing Them. I could have titled that Without Rescuing Them. And when you said that, it's like right away that response of I know comes into my brain when a kid says, but the other kids have it, or Joe has it, or I'm left out, or it's like, I know. That's all you got to say. I love that idea of, yeah, but you're a LeBeau and the LeBeaus work this way. That's awesome. That's amazing. And sometimes we just, it's the response we need to have off the tip of our tongue that isn't going to engage us and like entertain, give the kid even the slightest thought that I'm going to get my way. My parents are going to break on this one or cave on this one, that it's a non-negotiable.
Love
Head
it.
into the show notes, 60 ways to respond to your kids without losing your cool. Know what to
Love
say.
it. Yeah.
It's just a compilation of all kinds of resources from different over the last 30 years, responses that I've learned. Some are my own, some are not.
So, I want to say too, off of something you said, we call that the red zone. The red zone is when you're in an elevated state of stress or anxiety of 7 out of 10 or higher. And my friend, Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo, who's awesome, she's on all the big morning shows all the time. She's great. She came up with this concept, and I believe and agree with her. If we can get people to understand the red zone and to realize when they're in that agitated area, 7 or higher, or their kid is, That's when you're not needing to have a conversation.
Nope, can't
There's
reason
all
with a
these
drunk.
different. Yeah, exactly. And that's when you make the bad decisions. You say the things you can't take back. You put the substances or food in your mouth that you shouldn't. Don't let anything in or out of your mouth, food wise, substance wise, words wise, when you're in that zone. And if we could do that, it literally would change the world because that's when we make all our bad decisions. That's when we deal with the road rage and start a fight at a bar or get into it with our kids or our significant other or someone in our family. And it's, you have to have some devices, some tools, some skills that you can implement. All right. And for everyone, that's different. For some people, it's, I need to go on a quick walk around the block. I need to put in my playlist. Maybe it's some meditation, like we were talking earlier about before we hopped on, or any of these other things. And one cool thing is that parents and kids can use that language to communicate back and forth. And so that's one thing we hear a lot is like parents and kids will be like, hey, I'm in the red zone. And they'll be like, all right, let's circle back here in 20 or in an hour and we can address this then. And so it helps them, like you said, be able to have communication without going into conflict and having it blow up and escalate because we're all out of our minds when we're emotional. So I love that.
Absolutely.
And I'd love to check out that PDF as well.
When you are at your peak and you're in that fight or flight, and sometimes you don't know till after you've already blown, right? Sometimes it's so reactionary that it just flies out. And then I have a make it right technique PDF in the show notes as well for that. So what do you do after you screw up? And I know you have some thoughts on that as well.
Yeah, it's I think that when you screw up as a parent or as an adult or just a person in general, the most powerful thing you could do is use that as a lesson of, hey, I'm human too, and this is me messing up, and I'm sorry, and I want to be a better example, and here's what I should have done, and next time I'm going to try to do it this way. I think so many people shy away from that because of our ego, because of, well, I'm the adult, or they deserved it. It's easier said than done, but if you can learn to have that humility, it actually is something that I don't know. I've just seen huge transformations and breakthroughs in parents and teens relationships when the parent could be like, ah, doggone it, I'm the one having a bad attitude right now. And I know I'm harping on you all the time, so I'm going to do it better next time. And then you can have a laugh about it.
Yeah, of course, anytime we can apologize, not just saying, oh, I apologize is not an apology. I'm sorry is the apology, right? But also just making it up to the person is stronger than the words. And that goes along with what you guys are saying too. Like, do it. Don't just say it, like, actually do it. So, how can I make it up to you, bud? I totally flew off the handle. I even consequenced you with something so extreme. Like, I don't want to ground you.
Kids today, because of how the world is with technology, phones, and social media, essentially there has become this epidemic of loneliness, and people are more disconnected than they ever have been before. And this is something that is really relatable for me because when I was in that faraway, distant land of Alaska, I felt lonely and isolated, and I felt like I didn't have the opportunity. So it's something that I identify very strongly with me. And the thing that got me to turn the corner was I found my tribe. I teamed up through basketball with the people that were into the same thing that I was into, and I spent time with them every day in person, mixing it up, developing relationships, going through highs and lows, being there for each other. And that's what kids are missing today. They cannot replace that with a phone. They cannot replace that with a tablet or an iPad or a computer or video games. I get a kick out of it when parents are like, well, they have a social life. They play video games with friends. Well, any person who's spent 20 seconds around kids socializing, quote unquote, and play video games with friends is them just yelling the meanest things they could possibly do. And you might be like, oh, no, that's not my kid. Well, I bet you when you're not there, it is your kid. And I know this because I talk to thousands of kids every month. So it is, it can't replace actually doing things in person. And I know those things are so fun and kids get so into them, but there's got to be some sort of balance. So if your kid is struggling in any area, one of the biggest things that they can do is go and team up. Find something, a sport, an after-school activity, the youth group, anything where they can be around other kids. They can be a part of a tribe that they want to do. They can be part of a community. They can have an awesome group of friends that are there for each other through the highs and the lows, and they belong to something bigger than themselves. And
Amen.
that's the struggle, is even with kids that are struggling today. You know, we talk about so much how mental health and depression and self-harm is skyrocketed. Cool, but what are they teaching them in therapy? We're going to go and focus for an hour on all the things that you're not happy with in your life. And I heard someone else say this past week, and I thought it was so well, it just hit it the nail right on the head. And it's like, that is teaching people to reinforce a bad habit. Let's go from people that need help to people that help other people. And that doesn't mean that everything's perfect and you didn't go through trauma. And we're not trying to undermine any struggles that people are having. We all have struggles. That's a part of life. But are you just going to focus on yourself? Because I would argue that's a very selfish way to live. And the ultimate thing, one of the things I've learned from doing this for so long, no matter any situation that you could say, what's a situation with a kid that you've heard recently or that you've heard a lot from a parent? Can you give me just an
That
example that comes to
they're
mind?
stuck in their room or gaming too much and not coming out and having, dinner with the family or hanging out with their friends.
So they're introverted, kind of depressed. They don't have a good group of friends. Guess what? This answer goes for that, and it goes for nearly every other thing. Go and have them volunteer. Go and have them help other people. Have them do something of service that's for someone else. Because guess what? Whatever this scenario is, let's say they're in there because they feel like they're getting bullied at school or something awful like that. That's not fair. Well, sitting around and feeling sorry for yourself isn't going to help. But going out and actually doing something, you're going to see, wow, you know how many kids would kill to have a video game that they could go in their room and they could play, and they have a mom and a dad that are still together and love each other and a roof over their head and a meal on the table whenever you need it. There's so many people that don't have any of those things. And so it puts your perspectives in your problems into perspective, and it makes you become more grateful. And when you're grateful, they talk about this all the time, you can't be in a state of anger and bitterness when you're in that state of gratitude. So people need to get outside of their little bubble, because it is the worst thing you know is the worst thing you know. We'll get out there and find out that guess what? There's a lot tougher lives that people have. And those people who've gone through those things have gone and accomplished so much more than people that had everything working in their favor, because it drove them to have some hunger and desire to be better, to be greater, to prove people wrong, and to be everything that they possibly could. So acts of service are so huge, and would be not in our top five that we're talking about, but a really good one that I wanted to mention.
Amen, mic drop, and wholeheartedly agree. I did 10 years with Child Protective Services, and I saw some of the most horrendous situations that kiddos went through, and kids being removed from their home, maybe reunified, and then having to be removed again, like some really, really tough stuff. And those kiddos, many of those kiddos, the ones I was able to at least follow or follow up with later, are some of the healthiest people I know. And the kiddos who have no want for anything, who have all their basic needs, times 10, who have access to, they want something, their parents will buy it, best schools, all those kinds of things. There are several of those kids that are all, this is what I hear from them. Oh, I'm so anxious. Oh, my anxiety. It's, oh my gosh, this was such a tough day. And it's like, oh, blah, blah.
Wi-Fi
Like,
was slow.
yeah, the Wi-Fi was slow. Oh my gosh, they were out of my favorite coffee. I'm exaggerating that a little bit, but
Oh
not
no, you're
actually,
not.
not really. I'm not.
No, you're not. I'll tell you firsthand, you're not.
And it's like, get into not even just somebody else's hard time or hardship, but just volunteer. Go to a nursing home, an assisted living, an animal shelter, your local food shelf. There's a variety of things you could do, or even just go help an aunt or uncle or family friend for the day
Yeah.
with their kids or their laundry or their garbage or like anything. It
Don't
doesn't
have to
have
go
to
to
be.
Africa and build a school. It could be
No, right.
so small. Invite that one kid to join your group of friends at the table that doesn't have any friends.
Yes.
That will change another kid's life. I love that.
Absolutely.
So number four is creating systems around your phone usage. Every person needs this, young or old, but especially a teenager or younger, a preteen with a developing brain. Because guess what? Most people that I know that are pretty successful adults don't have the upper hand and control when it comes to their relationship with their phone. I found myself getting lost in the scroll, a few years ago before I said, this is a problem. One, me as a adult who's doing pretty well and has a lot going for them, I'm like looking at other people and being like, how come they got that television show? Why did they hit a million followers? I'm comparing myself to them and it's affecting me. So what the heck is it doing to a kid who doesn't have a track record to build some confidence like I have, but just because I've lived longer? So in order to do that, you have to figure out what that looks like for them, because the answer can't be just taking away their phone. I wish we could, but guess what? They're going to be 18 and every other person has a phone and they need it to find where they're going, to order groceries, to survive, to communicate. So there, you have to teach them just like you would with something else. Here's the phone. Here's how it works. If you don't let it, it will take over your life and you will spend, like the average kid today, it's like over 8 hours a day. That's a full-time job, 40 hours a week, just what kids are mostly going like this, watching what other people are pretending to do.
Scrolling.
Yeah, just putting pollution in their mind. It's built by the same people that make casinos, that's hitting dopamine in our brains. A kid has no chance. If you don't put a system in place, and you can do all these things with even an iPhone, it's fairly easy to do. But then there's also apps and resources, but you got to determine, what is your game plan going to be? And you have to help your kid come to the realization, you know what? My life is better when I don't spend 8 hours, but maybe 1 hour or 90 minutes or 2 hours a day is the right amount for me. And you can't just be like, okay, I'm going to do 2 hours. You have to make it so that it stops at a certain point. So at this morning, in the morning, this is when you can use it. At night, it stops at this time. In between, there's a certain amount of hours you have for each app. What apps are you going to be using? There's no reason for your kid to be on Snapchat. I've talked to the top experts in the world. They said, quote, Snapchat is the devil. The only thing it's there is to do mischievous things that go away. So you don't want that for your kid. But all the other kids on the baseball team have a group chat. Guess what? Talk to the other parents. It's going to be a text message. There should be nothing to hide, so why should it matter? Oh, there's cool filters. Cool, we'll find another way to make a good filter. We'll go get you a light. But you can't leave it up to, like, all right, I'm just going to have the discipline and self-control. You have to put systems in place. And as an adult, it's the same thing when it comes to email, phone calls, who can reach you. And back to that walking the walk and talking the talk. I probably about 4 years ago now, I made the decision, because of how I was feeling, because of the amount of time I was wasting. I was like, dude, all my goals and all my dreams and everything I want to do, like, but I'll waste time on social media. That's stupid. This is my biggest competitive advantage. And so I got off there, and I unfollowed like 500 people that I was following, people I knew, like I knew all these people. Some people got mad at me, FaceTimed me, said, I'll never talk to you again. And it was like people that I knew really well. And I was like, that's interesting. You're not a real friend. Even when I explained, because they didn't realize it for like 9 months or so. And I'm like, actually, I am in such a great place. It has been such an amazing transformation for me. And also, I'm able to talk about it on stage to kids. And so I can share my experience and how it positively impacted my life. It's not easy, but again, cool. Let your kid spend a lot of time on there. Guess what? Anxiety, stress, depression, self-harm, confusion, because they're being molded by all these outside influences with these social contagions, right? They can be in their room and you think, oh, my kid's going. No, they're in the room getting bullied or seeing things that they shouldn't be seeing that are inappropriate and steering them in the direction that you definitely don't want them going. Or every week, there's a different kid in our program who we find out there's some type of online predator situation where they think they're talking to a kid their age. So I got really excited. I know I was going to say this one short, but you've got to put a system in place, because no human has the self-control or discipline to resist $1 trillion that went into making this the most addictive thing in the world. So
No.
that's the that's
I
that. What
love
do
it.
you
No,
think?
I love it. And it is the reality. I like that you say that. It's our kids' reality is technology, whether that's cell phones, tablets, computers, gaming, all the things. Like it's their reality. And so I actually, in fact, we just did an episode not too long ago called Get Excited About Your Kids to Use Technology. Why did I say get excited about them to use technology? Because they're going to use it, it's going to be there. And the more you restrict it just for the sake of restricting it, or the more you take it away as a disciplinary consequence, the more you're going to make your kids want it. So have those honest conversations right up front in the beginning when you're introducing the technology. Be excited for them. Help them set some healthy boundaries. But you're right. We have to start by setting some boundaries too. And it's just kind of one of those non-negotiables until we know that they're able to be responsible with it, but also ready to be responsible. Because those of us, like, I'm able to be responsible. I'm an adult, but am I always responsible? Just like you're saying, like, no, not always.
Yeah, it's hard.
So why would we set our kids up to fail?
Yeah.
Right out of the gate. Yeah.
100%. And we could go on this one for an hour, but it comes down to having communication, setting some rules, getting a contract. And then once you set it up, all right, this is how it is. Like, the phone goes away at night. You don't have it in your room. The phone isn't at the kitchen table, and it just becomes the norm. And guess what? Well, it's not the norm at the other people. Well, they're not one of us, and that's fine. And again, hard, easier said than done, but.
Yeah, but we make it so much harder than it needs to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we take problems and we take one problem and we turn it into like five problems.
Yeah. Yeah. It is tough. It is tough. And that's the last one is invest in mentors. So I have the sports background. So like, I remember my junior summer going into senior, I got to work out with Kobe Bryant's trainer, this guy named, I believe his name is Jim Brogan. And he was just a character. And it was so cool to be with someone who, well, I later got to do a commercial for Kobe Bryant, which was amazing. So it came full circle. But to see like the most elite NBA basketball player, he's working with different coaches and different trainers. So if he needs a coach, then we all need coaches in all these areas of our life, whether it's business, whether it's finances, whether it's relationships, whether it's parenting. And my big thing for parents, and we talk about this a lot, is a lot of times they just don't want to hear it from you because they're a teenager. And we all have been there. The kids are rolling their eyes when we say something, and you can be whoever, or you can be the, like, the big celebrity NBA player. And the kids feel the same way of like, okay, dad, like, you're embarrassing me. Mom, be quiet. Stop yelling at the game. So getting someone on your team can make all the difference. And a lot of times it can be someone who's saying the exact same message, but it's just a different messenger. And then the kid's like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing I've ever heard. My friend, Danny Shays, he played for a few different NBA teams, but he has a story about his kid not listening to him. But then when Apollo Ono told him some advice, it was like the greatest thing ever. And he's like, I've told him that.
I said the exact same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. But he didn't want to hear it from me, but from Apollo Ono, it's being received. So get some people on your team, you know, whether it's the things that you're doing, or there's all sorts of different resources out there who can be reinforcing those things and maybe helping them and you look at it from a different perspective. I think that's really powerful and can make a huge difference.
Absolutely. For sure. Kids don't always want to hear what their parents have to say. And sometimes certain adults are more childlike or relatable, and kids have an easier time communicating with them. So find those people. They're out there, just like you, Jesse, which leads me into asking you about your speaking and your school programs, because these are just like, I can't wait to start spreading the word to the many schools that follow my newsletter. So tell us about how that all looks and how schools can get you into their school system.
Yeah. So that's what I've been doing for the last 10 years is speaking a ton, middle schools, high schools, youth organizations. And I just have so much fun. You know, I go in there and a lot of times the kids are expecting some old guy to come and say, don't do drugs. And that kind of thing. And I come in and I got the music, I'm doing basketball tricks. We have a basketball bus. So it catches them off guard and gets them engaged, and it's fun. And then I'm able to share a powerful underdog story that they can relate to. And I've got to speak to over a million kids. It's been amazing. But the thing that I started to get frustrated with is that kids would come after and line up and they'd want to talk and they share these things. Some of them are just really fired up and they want to chase a goal or a dream or overcome an obstacle. And some kids are going through really hard things and they share those. And it sucks because I'd give them a hug and tell them I care about them and they, you know, good luck, they're going to do it. But then I'm leaving. I'm going to the next school or I'm heading home. And I just knew that most of them aren't going to actually follow through on those things. They don't have someone that's in their corner that can teach them how to write a SMART goal and reverse engineer it and take the next steps to get the things that they want in their life. And so that's how our programs were born, so that we can basically hold their hand and walk them through all the steps and stages and expose them to a bunch of different life lessons that can make a huge impact on their life. So we have a teen program that parents bring to their kids to, and we work with them for 90 days. And in 90 days, we'll have just the most incredible transformations. It's been just so awesome to work with the kids on a deeper level and coach them one-on-one and find out really what they want to achieve and find out really what they're struggling with and making it fun and engaging. That's the key. It's like the kids want to be there. They have a good time. They get to meet the other kids that are involved, and they're all like meeting each other where they're at and encouraging each other. It's really awesome. And then it was just a natural offshoot to take that program and create an SEL program that could go into schools. So it's all focused on building confidence, grit, and resilience. And yeah, it's just been amazing. I'll come and do a live event. Now the kids are excited. They know me. And then the teachers are doing a video from me each week in the classroom. And then we talk about different life lessons. So surrounding yourself with five amazing friends. How to forgive other people, right? The empower and importance of your attitude, of hard work, of all these different things that every parent wants for their kid. You know, they aren't just these new, the only new things would be like around like social media and how to handle that stuff. But everything else is like nothing new under the sun. It's just these timeless principles that every parent wants for their kid. And I love school teachers. My mom and sister are both school teachers. But these aren't the things that are in the curriculum, you know. So this is that social emotional learning to help them have those tools to survive life and the difficult things and have fun along the way.
I love it. My oldest sister is a teacher too. She's a rock star freaking teacher. She is
Yeah.
amazing. And the social emotional piece does so much for their academic success. You know, in my years of working children's mental health, when a lot of times kids could be behind in grades academically because emotionally they weren't doing well. And once we got them to a place where they were emotionally doing well, those grades just picked right up and they excelled. So I love that you're doing this program. And it's actually schools can hire you to come in and do this welcoming kind of like get fired up presentation, but then there's a year-long program that they have access to. This is not just like, okay, a couple times we're going to talk about this. No, that you're going to check in. The teens have a program. The parents get to be involved and the school, the teachers get to be trained. You have all different kinds of options and they can find all this information at theattitudeadvantage.com.
You nailed it. That's it.
Thank you so much for taking the time to be with me, especially all the time you took to converse about no problem parenting and the attitude advantage. And I love your work. I love your mission. I just love who you are as a person. I feel like I've known you for years already, and I really appreciate you taking the time to be on the show.
I appreciate you too. You got to come on ours next, and we're gonna spread the good word all over Minnesota and beyond.
All right, parents, that's it for today. Make sure you head over to the website, noproblemparents.com. Sign up to get our emails. We're going to be giving away tips, tools, techniques, and resources, updates on podcast episodes, and more. Check out noproblemparents.com. For now, hugs and high fives. You got this.